Hi, everybody. Good to see you again. One of my favorite places to come, that's for sure. And excuse me, I've been sick all week, so y'all pray for me. I love my two grandchildren, but they give me everything they catch. So, wow. This every time I come to this church, I think this must be like the early church was. This reminds me of the early church, right? Amazing. It really is. I mean, the fellowship and the simplicity of the service, it's a tribute to your pastor and your church. It's an amazing place to be. So thank you for letting me be here. My favorite topic is the birth of Christ. Excuse me. And this fall, I didn't do it one time yet. God told me to do this talk. But Wednesday night, I'll be at Lakeshore Church on Brewster Road in Madisonville at 7 o'clock. I'll be doing the combined virgin birth talk and the history of the birth of Christ. If you've never heard that talk, it's my favorite talk, and your pastor said I could announce it Wednesday night, Brewster Road, Lakeshore Church. Everybody got that? If you don't know that it was against the law to wrap a child in swaddling clothes, excuse me, if you didn't know that it was against the law for the shepherds to watch their flocks by night, if you don't know those kinds of things about the birth of Christ, come Wednesday night and you'll hear the amazing facts about the birth of Christ. Okay? Really my favorite topic. Okay. First slide. Okay, there you go. Everybody see that? Good. Okay. So it's not abortion. It's not abortion, it's not gender, it's not even creation versus evolution. What other questions do we always talk about? Lots of questions. It's not even the accuracy of the Bible. That's not the question that divides the world. 7 billion people, maybe it's more than that now. 5 billion or so non-Christians, 2 billion or so Christians. The question that divides us from the rest of the world is not any of the things that we just mentioned. Amazing. Most of the world agrees with us that there is a God, so it's not that question. Most of the world believes that abortion is wrong worldwide. Creation versus evolution. We go down the list. The question that divides us from the rest of the world is the next slide. Oh, I have to do it. Yeah. Okay? When we pick topics to talk about at work or in your family, we should be talking about this question. That's the question that divides us from the Mormons, from the Jehovah's Witnesses, from the Jews, from the Buddhist. Go down the list. This is the question that divides the world. We better be able to answer this question so that we can reach the world. Amen? That's right. Why is it so important? Because, listen, if we answer this question correctly, if we can answer this question correctly, then guess what happens to all the other questions? They what? They get answered easily. We know how we should feel about abortion. We know how we should feel about gender. We know how we should feel about creation versus evolution. We know how we should feel about pornography or any other question. All the other questions in the world get answered when you answer this question. Amen? That's right. Because Christ spoke about the Old Testament. He told us what the Old Testament was accurate and inspired. If he was God in the flesh, he answered all the other questions for us. Got that? He did. That's why we got to answer this question. When we talk about gender and everything else, we need to start saying, well, what did Christ teach about that? Was he God in the flesh or not? That's why this is the most important question in the world today. When I'm debating with somebody about any topic you want to, This is where I go. Once we solve this issue, we can talk about abortion. We can talk about all the other questions in the world. Amen? That's right. That's right. Okay. So here we go. Oh. Wow. The number of times the other world's religious leaders claim to be God. The number of times the other religious leaders of the world, Abraham, Mohammed, Buddha, you could go down the list. The number of times they claim to be God in the flesh, zero. The number of times Christ claimed to be God in the flesh, how many approximately times? Anybody know in the New Testament? 50. 50. 50 times. I and the Father am one. He who has seen me has... I mean, you could go down the list. So don't wonder about the question of whether or not he claimed to be God. Yes, he did. Okay. That question comes up to me all the time. Well, he never really claimed to be God. Yes, he did. Okay. Wow. Here we go. Oh, here's the list. Very powerful men realize Christ saves. That's the best I could do. Sorry about that, but here we go. If there's no virgin birth, if there wasn't a virgin birth, then would it matter if we had Calvary or the resurrection? What's the answer to that? No. That's right. That's right. If he's not virgin born, if we can't prove that, we're wasting our time. We need to go home. Everybody got that? We should be experts on the virgin birth. And I have a whole tape on that. I have two tapes on that. But we won't do it tonight. But the first evidence that he was God in the flesh was the virgin birth. Here we go. The Bible says that he was virgin born. That's good evidence. You don't have to be ashamed of saying the Bible says something. Of course, the Bible says he's virgin born many times. That's good. The apostles said he was virgin born. Hey, everybody, I hope you understand that if I'm an apostle, a follower of Christ, and I'm going to be eaten alive by the animals in the Colosseum, or beheaded, or if I'm going to be crucified upside down like Peter, or if I'm going to die from a spear like all the apostles did, I hope you understand that the apostles had to believe that he was virgin born. Everybody got that? As I am willingly going to the Colosseum to die, one of the things I had to be sure of is that he was virgin born. If he's not virgin born, then he's not God in the flesh. He's not my Savior. He's not the Messiah. Wow. 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 We have to start with the virgin birth. And the apostles had to believe that all the way to their death. Wow. Mohammed, who studied under the Christian leaders in 800 AD and the Jewish leaders and picked his own path in the middle, the Muslim faith. Mohammed, who was an expert in Christianity and an expert in Judaism, left out the resurrection, didn't believe in the resurrection, left out lots of things in the Muslim teaching. He did not leave out the virgin birth. The Muslim faith believes that Christ was virgin born. Could not leave that out. He felt like the evidence was overwhelming for the virgin birth, and even Mohammed in the Quran leaves in the virgin birth. Amazing point. Amazing fact. Okay? The M. The M at the bottom. Wow. A hard one. Really hard. Mary. Mary. Wow. Wow, wow. Think about that. If she was blessed among women, if she was picked out of all the women to be the mother of God on earth, if she was as great as we know she was, that's right, if she was that great, and she could have lied and said, he wasn't virgin born, it was just me and Joseph. We made a mistake. You realize she lived much longer after the crucifixion, till AD 51. any time in her life as she's watching her friends, the apostles and people she knew, go to death, as she watched people she knew go to martyrs' deaths, she could have said, time out. He wasn't virgin born. We were young. I was 12. Joseph was 15. We didn't know what we were doing. He was the father. Christ wasn't virgin born. Why did not Mary ever change her mind? The evidence, the Jews for Jesus, the Messianic Jews say, the silence of Mary on this topic is one of the best evidences for the virgin birth. That all the way to her death, she never changed her mind. Amen? Amazing. Amazing point. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. John 1:1. Wow. Christ tells John to be the son of Mary on the cross. He says, behold your mother, and makes Mary his mother, John the apostle. You know what history tells us? Christ died in A.D. 33. Mary lived all the way to A.D. 51. That's 18 more years after the crucifixion. Mary lived with John 18 more years. Wow. How would you like to live with Mary for 18 years? Listen, the reason John is the only gospel that does not give us the human genealogy, the genealogy of Christ. Ba, 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 ba. John doesn't do that. You know why? He knows about the pre-incarnate Christ. He knows about the Christ before the human birth. Of course, he lived with Mary. She would have told him, it didn't come from me and Joseph. He was pre-incarnate, pre-existent Christ. John would have went over that time and time again. So John starts his gospel with, you know what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Not the humanly birth, but in the beginning, the pre-existent Christ. Incredible evidence for the virgin birth. John understands that he didn't start in Bethlehem in the year 2 BC. He was there long before that. Amen? That's right. That's right. Okay. Wow, the son of Mary. Listen, you were never called by the name of your mother in Jewish culture. Never called by the name of your mother. The son of Joseph, the son of Abraham, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Never the son of your mother. Unless one thing was true. You were assumed to be illegitimate. You were assumed to be illegitimate. Wow. So as he comes on the earth, they start calling him the son of Mary. He's not called the son of Joseph. He's called the son of Mary because there's always some question about who his father is. Amazing information. The Jews for Jesus, the Messianic Jews say, we don't need any other proof for the virgin birth except the son of Mary term. Nobody would have used that term for Christ unless there was some question about his birth, about who his father was. Everybody got that? Wow. By the way, at the Christian Medical Society, I said this. If he comes from heaven, pre-existent Christ comes from heaven, right to Mary's womb like we believe, heaven pre-existent to Mary's womb, no man involved, no woman involved, heaven to Mary's womb. If that's true, then when he's born, doesn't look like either parent. Wow. I see your faces. Doesn't look like either parent. Wow. Wow, wow. Amazing point. So there's always some question about, is he their children? The illegitimacy of Christ. It's evidence in our court that there was something unusual about his birth, the virgin birth. Powerful, powerful stuff. The son of Mary. Okay. Excuse me. Wow. A 1,000 years before Billy Graham was born, if I could have told you those 8 things about Billy Graham's life, 1,000 years before he was born. I could have got all those things right 1,000 years. The odds that I would get those 8 things right about Billy Graham's life 1,000 years before he was born. The odds. My favorite number. My favorite number. The state of Texas, 6 feet high. Excuse me. And ping pong balls. So I'm about 6 feet tall. The entire state of Texas covered 6 feet high in ping pong balls. Texas. That's this number. Pick a ping pong ball and mark it with a Sharpie. Blindfold me. Ask me to find the one ping pong ball in the state of Texas. Blindfolded. The odds that I'm going to find the ball that you marked in the state of Texas, 6 feet high, is 1 times 10 to the 17th. Amen? If you don't think that's a big number, let me show you how big that number is. Excuse me. You are 1 billion times with a B. You're 1 billion times more likely to become president of the United States. You're 1 billion times with a B more likely to win the Powerball. With a B, billion times more likely than for me to find that ping pong ball in the state of Texas, 6 feet high. Why is that important? Because that's the same odds that I would get 8 things right. When we come to the prophecies of Christ, how many prophecies did they get right? All of them, but how many? At least 60. At least 60. We don't have a human number that somebody is going to get 60 things right about Christ 1,000 years before he was born. The Jews, the Jewish faith, including Ben Shapiro on John MacArthur, says, tell me about the prophecies. That's what the Jews want to know. The Messiah is going to be the one who fulfills the prophecies, and he did. He filled them all. And the odds that it could be anybody else are 1 and 1 times 10 to the 17th. Amen? Fulfilled prophecies is evidence that he was who he said he was. Maybe better than any other evidence, the fulfilled prophecies of Christ. Okay? Wow. Wow, wow. Miracles? So the Christian Justin Martyr, as he's getting ready to be beheaded by Nero in the year AD 150, I think it was Nero, as he's getting ready to die, Justin Martyr sends a letter to the emperor, to the Caesar at the time, and he's trying to make a case for Christ. And Justin Martyr says, the fact that Christ performed miracles, you can read for yourself in the Acts of Pilate. The Acts of Pilate were letters from Pilate to Caesar, like letters from Governor Edwards to President Biden, letters from Pilate to Caesar saying that we saw these miracles. Pilate himself wrote letters from Pilate to Caesar talking about the miracles that Christ performed. So the idea that the miracles were only a scriptural record is wrong. It always comes up. Only the Christians saw the miracles. Of course not. Pilate himself and the Jewish, and the centurion, and all those people saw the miracles. And Justin Martyr says, you can read for yourself in the Acts of Pilate. A very, very important writing called the Acts of Pilate. Letters from Pilate to Caesar. The feeding of the 5,000 around AD 30. The feeding of the 5,000 was probably more like the feeding of the 15,000 on that hill that day. What's so significant about that? Wow, listen. That occurred around AD 30. If I'm 20 years old in AD 30, if I'm 20 years old and I'm on that hill and I saw the feeding of the 5,000 miracle, and the book of Mark and the other gospels start to come out around AD 50, AD 54, the writing of the gospels start to be spread to the churches. Wow. How old am I now? 50. 40. They're still alive. I want you to understand that data says that probably over 70 to 80% of the people on the hill that day in the feeding of the 15,000 were still alive when the gospel started to be spread. Amen? Eyewitnesses still alive. If we brought 15,000 eyewitnesses to court to testify that an accident happened in a certain way, they would throw that trial out. 15,000 eyewitnesses. Listen, as the gospel writers are starting to write the gospels, eyewitnesses are coming forward to say, I was there. I was 10 years old, now I'm 30 years old. I was 20, now I'm 40. Amazing, amazing point. Eyewitnesses still alive to see the miracles of Christ. Y'all know where I'm going with this one, right? Yeah. So the issue of modern healers always comes up to me. Always. We don't have time for that today. But I want you to understand the difference between Christ's miracles and some of the modern miracles that you hear about. I can be laying down and say, oh, you healed me, my back feels better. I'm a medical doctor. There's no way to prove whether or not you're right or wrong. Everybody got that? Here's Christ's miracles. Lame man who'd been there lame in the temple for many, many years since childhood suddenly walks. Can't deny that. The healing of the leper. Listen, leprosy was very deforming in that day, a terrible disease. People who saw his hands suddenly become normal, there's no question about the miraculous event. It's not like saying my back feels better suddenly. This is a leper that was healed. Amazing point. And then the raising of Lazarus, of course. Wow. How many people probably saw the raising of Lazarus on the road to Bethany? How many people just a few days before Passover? Just a few days before Palm Sunday? Everybody is coming to the temple. Everybody's coming to Jerusalem for Passover. How many people? The estimation, 30 to 40,000. 30 to 40,000 people. Possibly saw the raising of Lazarus. Wow. Dead for 3 days, smelled bad. Nobody doubted that he was dead. And yet all of these people witnesses. If you want to know why the crowd was so huge on Palm Sunday, just a few days later, estimated crowd on Palm Sunday, 150,000 Palm Sunday. Listen, it's because many of those people had just seen the raising of Lazarus just a few miles away. Just a few days earlier. So of course they follow him to Palm Sundays. Not because he was riding on a donkey. It wasn't any of that. They just heard about the raising of Lazarus. Etc., etc. Amazing. Okay. The miracles of Christ. Oh boy. What did they say when he started to do miracles? They said that he performs miracles by what? Beelzebub. That's right. They didn't question that Christ was performing miracles. They didn't deny that. They just said, we wonder where the source of your miracles was. They claimed that they might be from the devil, from Beelzebub. Amazing point, but not denied the miracles of Christ. Josephus recorded the miracles of Christ. The letters of Pilate, we could go on and on and on. Nobody denied that Christ did the miraculous. When we talk about the deity of Christ, we have the virgin birth, the prophecies, the miracles. Okay. Everybody that's heard me speak before knows that we could do this for 2 hours just on this one topic. But when you speak to a room of 300 atheists like I did, they want some evidence outside of Scripture. They want some evidence besides what you heard about in your Bible, etc., etc. So listen, let me show you something that we studied recently. I helped do this. I got into populations recently. Populations. This is amazing stuff. You can Google it. People are starting to study the populations of when these events took place. Watch this. Here we go. You're not going to believe it. How many people at Passover in the year AD 33, Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us approximately how many people were at Passover the week Christ was crucified? Amazing numbers here. If you listen to CNN, you might think, oh, you know, 4,000 or 5,000. 2 million. 2 million people at Passover. That's why we have 150 to 200,000 people at Palm Sunday. That's why we have 15 to 20,000 on the hill of the feeding. The numbers are much bigger than your mind has ever thought of. And it's very, very important because of this. It says a multitude of heavenly hosts followed him. That's the same term used from the birth of Christ and the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts. Too many to count. Too many to count. Christ was the center of attention on Passover week. He was the center of attention. He met with Pilate. He met with the high priest. This is like him meeting President Biden. I hope y'all understand that. Why is that important? Because of this. Here we go. Estimated crowd at Pilate's trial. Anybody seen the movie The Risen? The Risen movie? Oh, please go see The Risen movie. He got it right. The picture looks like 50, 60, 70,000 people. That's exactly right. At the trial before Pilate, as he's saying, do you want Barabbas or do you want Christ? 50, 60,000 people. Why is that important? On Friday, in the trial before Pilate, because just 2 days later, we have a claim of resurrection in an empty tomb. Just 2 days later, this crowd of 40 or 50,000 starts to hear that, oh, suddenly this tomb is empty. If Abraham Lincoln rises from the dead tomorrow, where's everybody going to go first? To the tomb of Abraham Lincoln. Of course they wanted to go to the tomb of Christ. And after the Romans released it as a crime scene, of course people went to that tomb. Amazing. The documentation of the tomb of Christ being empty on Sunday, April the 5th, AD 33, is beyond any doubt. The tomb was indeed empty, seen probably by thousands of people eventually. Amazing. Not just the women, not just the apostles, not just the Romans. We have everybody hearing that the tomb is empty. Amazing, amazing point. Population studies back help document the resurrection, that tomb was empty. On April the 5th, the tomb of Christ, a 10-minute walk. Listen, the tomb of Christ is a walk from here to Fountain Blue High School, from downtown Jerusalem. They could walk to the tomb of Christ. Some of y'all have been to the tomb of Christ now, or one of the two tombs. They're both close. You can walk in 10 minutes from downtown Jerusalem to the tomb of Christ. Incredible. Everybody would have gone when they could to document the empty tomb. Resurrection evidence goes on and on and on, but that's one of the best references for me. Nobody disagrees that that tomb was empty. The Jews made up a lie to explain the empty tomb, that the disciples came and stole the body. The Romans made it a crime scene. Listen, you may have seen recently on the internet, Caesar wanted an explanation for the empty tomb, and Pilate couldn't give him the explanation, so Caesar comes to the Holy Land and arrests Pilate, where he's put in prison, and commits suicide. It's the resurrection of Christ and the empty tomb and the broken seal caused Pilate's suicide in prison. Amazing. Amazing. That's even more documentation that the tomb was empty. Okay. Wow, wow, wow. Changed lives? The changed lives in here testify to the risen Savior. Amen? Of course, our lives testify to that. Oh, boy. Yeah, 11 of 11. John was boiled alive in oil and miraculously survived, but he eventually died a martyr's death too. So John's included in this. And the rest of them all did. 11 of 11 apostles chose martyrs' deaths. Amazing. Amazing. None of them changed their story. None of them changed their mind. Think about that. All they had to do was say, no, we believe it was a hoax, and go on about their life. But instead, they all died martyrs' deaths. 11 of 11. So when the centurion and those with him guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Listen, we don't have time to talk about the centurion. Maybe the same centurion at Capernaum when Christ healed his servant. By the way, history names this centurion. He's named pretty well in history. You can study about this centurion. His life was changed. By the way, here's the question. Somebody asked me last year when I did this talk. Oh, and I said, here's my answer. The centurion is over 100 soldiers. Why is he at the foot of the cross? You ever ask yourself that question? Why is the centurion, who's in charge of 100 soldiers, at a simple Jewish crucifixion? Of course, he's touched by Christ already. Maybe Christ healed his son or his servant. We don't know. A centurion himself is at the foot of the cross and says, truly, this is the Son of God. Amazing. If you don't think his life was changed later by the resurrection, of course it was. Watch the movie Risen. You'll see part of that. The centurion's life changed. Truly the Son of God. Wow. Oh, boy. So we talked about this in Sunday school last week. This is from the Passion of the Christ movie. The guy on the right is Pilate. Who's the woman on the left? What's her name? Pilate's wife? Claudia. Listen, you need to become very familiar with two women in early church history. Number one, Claudia, the wife of Pilate. And number two, St. Helena, the mother of Constantine. There are two women in early church history that are responsible for much, much of the early church's success. And here's the first one, Claudia, the wife of Pilate. Somebody came to her in a dream and said what? Yeah, don't have anything to do with him, right? Her life was changed already. We believe Claudia is responsible for the letters from Pilate to Caesar being passed along the church. That's amazing. The role of Claudia, the wife of Pilate, could go on and on and on, and later wrote letters and was exiled, sold all her belongings, and gave her life to Christ. She claimed that she saw the post-resurrection Christ. She claimed that she saw the post-resurrection Christ and gave her life to Christ. Claudia's life change is one of the best evidences for the resurrection. No other explanation for what happened. Amazing. Amazing. The wife of Pilate. Okay. Last two slides. And probably the toughest ones. On Thursday night, Peter denied that he knew Christ before a little slave girl on Thursday night. As Christ is being arrested in the garden, Peter denies that he was a follower of Christ before a little slave girl around the fire on Thursday night, April the 2nd. Just years later, Peter, the same Peter, willingly chose upside down crucifixion. He willingly chose this. How many children do we have here tonight? Few. Okay. I won't get into the details of how bad upside down crucifixion was. You don't want to know. All I will tell you is that when you were crucified upside down, you stayed there until your body parts came out. You stayed there until you were eaten from the head up by dogs and wild animals. We'll stop at that. Listen, the reason I say that is Peter had the choice. Peter had the choice. Not only did he choose the crucifixion, but he said he didn't want to be crucified in the same way Christ was. So Peter, 60 years later, said, I'm going to be crucified willingly upside down. There are many authorities, including Josh McDowell and a few other people, who say maybe the upside-down crucifixion of Peter is one of the best evidences for the resurrection. Because you know what? The early church knew that men would do crazy things for what they believed. Maybe they would even be crucified for what they believed. But listen, the early church knew that Peter would never pick upside-down crucifixion on purpose. Amen? Amazing. Amazing. That no sane man would ever pick upside down. But Peter knew that. Incredible, incredible point. Last two slides. Oh, by the way, if you ask me on an airplane what I think is the best evidence that Christ was deity, I would say all the lists I did, but I say the next one and the last one is the best evidence to me. Because this is the one I can't explain. We might be able to explain some of the other ones, but the last one is one that I can't explain except for deity. So I'll leave it for last. By the way, on the case for Christ Lee Strobel, and the case of Christ John MacArthur, and the case for Christ Josh McDowell, nobody includes this one in their list. Only me. Wow. Wow, wow. So what's the answer to this question? I asked this to 2,000 people at the Healing Place Church a few years ago in Baton Rouge. Never got an answer. What do Pilate and the thief on the cross and at least 20 other people have in common? Oh, they believe, but what did they have in common? Here we go. Major, major answer. Amen? Listen, the thief on the cross. Pilate, I washed my hands. His family members, the 11 apostles, all these people knew him for at least 30 years, including, of course, his mother and his brothers, James and Jude. James and Jude wrote the books James and Jude in your Bible. You know what had to be true about Christ for them to believe that he was the Messiah, that he was God in the flesh? You know what had to be true? Yeah. Listen, guys, if I'm asked on an airplane, what's the best evidence that he was deity? It's this. How many sins would it have taken for him not to be God? One. Did he never steal a cookie? Did he never talk back to his mother? I mean, his brothers and sisters who lived with him, James and Jude, who wrote James and Jude in your Bibles, did they never see him sin one time? You realize in the Jewish faith, for him to be Messiah, for him to be God in the flesh, zero. Zero. Where's the sin? That's the best evidence to me. Can't explain that away. Did the apostles who lived with him for 3.5 years under the most stressful conditions, did they never hear him say anything wrong to anybody? They never sinned in those three. They lived intimately with Christ. Amazing, amazing point. That's why I close with this. There is no explanation. But why didn't somebody come forward and say, you know what, including Mary, his mother, as she watches him go to Calvary, listen, as she's watching him be flogged and go to Calvary because he's claiming to be God, she would have said, time out. Time out. He can't be the Messiah. He can't be God in the flesh. There's no way. He's not sinless. I raised him. I raised him. Amen? Where is the sin? Nobody says anything because he is sinless. Amazing to me. Oh, last slide. Yeah. If there was anybody going to tattle on him or say what he did wrong, right? It would have been his brothers. Absolutely. Oh, we saw it. Yeah. Why didn't James and Jude speak up? Why did James and Jude both die martyrs' deaths? One rushed through with a spear, the other one pushed off the temple wall. Why did they decide to die martyrs' death? It's because they knew he was sinless and that he was the Messiah. Even his brothers who lived with him never saw him sin. Amazing to me. It's the fact that I can't get over. Thank y'all so much. There's your list. This is the list of the deity of Christ. The question that divides the world, try not to concentrate so much on all those other questions and try and concentrate on this question. If he was who he said he was, then the Old Testament is right. Then the New Testament is right. Amen? You got that? That's right. If he was God in the flesh, he told us the Old Testament was God's word. He told us the New Testament was God's word. He told us what was right and wrong. This is what we have to prove first. And then all the other questions get answered. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for your amazing, amazing deity. And it's because you are Christ that you care about my health and my life and my kids. You care about our finances. You care about our jobs. You care about our hopes and dreams. You care about our divorces. Because you are who you said you were. Thank you that you answered that question. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. Amen.